I think the name says it all. It's a borderline pitch black room in which you're essentially grazing by people and through feeling alone, deciding who to play with. Like you're it feels like you're swimming in a sea of bodies. And our etiquette is, it's nonverbal. So people really aren't talking aside from like light, dirty talk, but it's typically considered taboo to like have an open conversation within there. So a lot of it's physical. It's like if someone grazes your elbow and then you pull away, that's a no. And if someone grazes your elbow and you stay and then they like engage and touch your forearm, then that's a yes.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Ten years, and yes, I am still saving pegging for someone special. This is Billy Presida, and you are listening to the Man Whore Podcast. Welcome, welcome. Bringing you sex-positive conversations every Wednesday. This time, covered in glitter, just because I wanted to. I had like four different people today be like, oh my god, I love your glitter. What's the occasion? Why is there got to be an occasion? A bro can't just wear some glitter just to feel fancy. Maybe I just want to disarm myself so you're less nervous about me making accidental eye contact with you on the subway. Maybe that's what this is about. Or maybe I'm just like in a good mood because I've been doing the same thing every Wednesday for 10 hetero-ish years. This week on the pod, I have got on, I'm just going to call her an erotic artist, Fempath. Who wanted to make sure I knew that she uses a she, her, fag, faggot pronouns. She told me to say it. She told me to say it. Just saying. I'm just doing what fag told me to do. I'm just. Give me an inch. I will take exactly the inch you give me. You give me 6 inches, I will need more lube. She has an immersive theatrical experience out here in New York based off of the very, very indie John Cameron Mitchell film Short Bus. And we will be talking about that in just a little bit. But first, as I sit here in the wee hours of Wednesday morning, fresh off of treating my damn self to a celebratory solo date out, I sit here covered in glitter, 4 glasses of wine, particularly expensive glasses of wine in, took myself to Minetta Tavern, got the bone marrow, an amount of bone marrow that is meant to share for an entire table, but it was just me alone there, and a very attractive, but, you know, kind of intruding woman next to me at the bar who I think she thought I had more money than I did. Based on how I was dressed, I wore my nice jacket out, and it felt like she lost steam on her interest the more I shared how poor I am. You know, like as soon as I referenced the fact that I'm going to be paying off that dinner for a couple of years at a high interest rate, she all of a sudden started finding herself talking to the finance guy on her other shoulder. Had a nice 20-ounce New York strip steak with whatever the fancy word is for green beans. I had those too. Then took myself to see Dune 2, mostly to impress a woman. But hey, you don't care what I'm casually doing with my day. What do you want to know? You want to know show dates, people. Show dates. As always, go to manwhorepod.com for my upcoming stand-up dates and all your Manwhore podcast needs. But if you want to see me do some stand-up here in New York City, got a few shows coming up this Sunday. I'll be at the Grizzly Pear in Midtown at 9 p.m. And then Monday, I'm going to be at Sycamore Tavern, a show run by past guest of the pod, Geneva Rust Orta. And then next Friday, April 26th, we've got the Naked Comedy Shows at Hacienda. Ticket link at the top of the schnotes. the most common question I get when I when you know when I do interviews, when I do other people's podcasts, and they're asking about the premise of the show, me interviewing past lovers, ex-partners, the most frequent question I get is what have you learned? When I tell people I interview my exes about why we didn't work out, they ask, oh, well, why didn't it work out? There are three things that come to mind. One is I am very frustrating to argue with. And I think part of that has to do with that I am often right, and that frustrates people who are wrong. But no, it's like 15% part of it. I am frustrating to argue with. Oftentimes that had to do with like in an incident, she may come with, hey, this is how I feel. And I would show up with like my facts ready to be right. And woo, can't argue those two together. They don't go together. They're different arguments. Or they're, I shouldn't say arguments. They're both different discussions. You know, facts aren't feelings, but feelings do matter still. And you're not going to rationalize and logic your way into them feeling differently. You're just going to have to empathize and ask, how does that make you feel? And why do you think you feel that? Because sometimes has nothing to do with you. There's a completely other thing going on here. And I think I've gotten better at that. Also better at the interrupting. Another thing I learned was I used to feel recklessly. I would, you know, I was very emotionally irresponsible. Something I would later fetishize with Meryl, and you could go back to episode 461 where we discussed love play. Ooh, I would just get fast and deep and intense, and I would feel the need to just burden a casual sex partner with how I felt in ways that weren't always fair to them. Sometimes it's if you say like, "Hey, I want to do something cash," and then I start showing up, rounding up certain feelings to love that aren't quite that yet, you know, that could be, that's scary, intimidating, intense. Makes me think back to episode 14 with Lee. And I like to think I've learned to have some emotional patience and not let anxious attachment blurt my feelings prematurely every day. Still sometimes a struggle, but I think I've gotten a lot better at that. A third thing I learned was I am an unreliable narrator. We all are. My ex Shay and I, our breakup was so loud back in 2018, and you can hear us talk about it back on episode 260. You know, they said I was gaslighting them. I said, no, you're gaslighting me. And so, but no one was gaslighting anybody. We were just experiencing and remembering the same events differently. Intense emotions in a moment, they color the memories like a filter on a photo, and the other person's using a different filter. So when we go look back at the photo 6 weeks later, yeah, looks differently. Realizing this, I think, has given me more humility in arguments when memories are at play. And I think that humility helps with number one, see above. Oh, and the last thing I learned was they all tend to like the oral. Do more oral, everybody. And yeah, you can see episode 180 and 500 for that. So thanks, everyone, for being on this journey with me. Many of you have heard me go from a silly, silly little 24-year-old boy to a 34-year-old, still kind of a boy. Man, whatever. And right now I want to show some appreciation to someone who shows their love of the podcast, not only with their downloads, but with their dollars. This is the Fan Whore Appreciation Moment. Okay, I want to say thank you to Brian, Mr. Opinion. They must love you on the message boards. None of you got to understand that. That's just for me and Brian over here, okay? But hey, man, thank you for being a supporter of the Man Whore Podcast on Patreon. Hope you are enjoying the bonies. And this is a good time to say that starting next week, I will be offering ad-free episodes of the Man Whore Podcast, you know it, exclusively on Patreon. Starting next week, the minimum tier is going to be at $3 a month, and that will give you access to behind-the-scenes content, extra writings, Discord benefits, but primarily ad-free episodes. All of you $2 members, you're still going to be at $2. Get in now while it's still technically cheaper. And then again, at the $5 a month level, you will get the ad-free episodes plus free bonus episodes a month. And at the $10 level, You get all of that and, among other things, access to The Peep Show, our very fun, sexy group chat on Telegram, where we just share nudes, gifts, and compliments every day. It's a beautiful place. When I'm feeling down, I just like share a picture of my pretty ass, and then people give me a bunch of little emoji reactions. I go, oh my God, I want to eat it. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you, I feel pretty. Become a member today. Support the pod you love, or even just the pod you kind of like, at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. And now for this week's guest, Fempath. Ooh, a little one-name action like Madonna and Prince and Caligula. We've got Fempath. Scrolling through Twitter, because that's a thing I still do, I come across an interview from them.us, which is a queer media outlet. And they did an interview with Fempath about this new immersive theatrical experience / play party that she just launched called Club Short Bus, based on the movie of the same name. And I didn't even read the article. I immediately went to go reach out to Fempath, because anyone who is dedicating so much creative energy and physical resources and time to an homage to Short Bus is a person I want to know and is a person I want to talk to. It's very, my Short Bus origin story is fairly strange, and I'm going to try to keep this as concise as possible. In 2005, there was a documentary that came out called The Aristocrats. Not The Aristocats, The Aristocrats. It was a documentary where 100 comedians tell the same joke. It's one of these jokes that like comedians kind of tell each other. No, the joke doesn't really belong to anyone. It's just there's a beginning, there's an end, and then the middle of it is all like improvised. You just kind of do what you want with it. And it's like it's supposed to be just a really, really filthy, dirty, dare I say, even obscene joke. And so when I saw the trailer for it, and I forget even how I saw the trailer for it, but like I see George Carlin, I see Chris Rock, and I'm seeing all these comedians who like I'm like a fan of, and I think, okay, I want to see this. So when it comes out in theaters, I asked my dad to take me to it, but it was unrated. By doing so, they just treat it like it's NC-17. So like my dad takes me to the, you know, the AMC Lowe's at the Palisades Mall. It wasn't treated like a rated R movie where I can go with a parent. It was like it's treated like NC-17, where you have to be over 17 to go. So I didn't get to see it, and I had to wait till it was out on DVD many months later. And so whenever it finally was out on DVD, I order it. I'm back at boarding school at this point. And so I get it. Cool. Great. Whatever amount of time passes, I'm on Amazon for one reason or another. I was in the computer lab at Hyde, and Amazon's algorithm was super rudimentary. It was not even really behavior-based. It was as simple as, oh, you bought this? Well, you'll like this because it was made by the same people. And The Aristocrats was produced by a company called Think Films, which I don't think exists anymore. And Think Films also made a movie called Short Bus. So Amazon recommended a little known movie. And so I was like, oh, sure, why not? I don't know. The byline's pretty simple. I think it had to do with just like, oh, it's about like a sex party in Brooklyn. So I ordered a DVD, and oh my, it felt like pornography, because like it opens very strongly with a man attempting to suck his own penis. That was a lot for virginal 16-year-old Billy. I'd seen one vulva at this time at best. I did not have group showers. I didn't really see a lot of other penises. And now I'm watching a man come on his own face in the first like 4 minutes, but fascinated me. It was my introduction to seeing queer sex and normalizing that a bit. It was my introduction to the concept of sex parties and what they like realistically could look like. It was my introduction to other topics like female orgasms and BDSM and open relationships. And so that's my Short Bus origin story. And no one like really ever knows this movie. So when I see this article that someone is creating a sex party based on Short Bus, I exploded. When I first went to Hacienda over a little over 9 years ago, like it wasn't exactly like Short Bus, but there were enough elements that if I felt like prepared to be there because I had seen this movie so many times. Anyways, Fempath did the inaugural version of this erotic theatrical experience back in February. The next one's going to be towards the end of May. And we had a we had some conversations about darkroom etiquette and play parties and consent and the film Short Bus. And the only thing I'll add is I was quite tickled when I when the topic of dark rooms came up. And if you don't know what that is, it's exactly what it sounds like, but she'll go into it more in depth. But I say, oh, and what was your first dark room experience like? And she paused way longer than is in the audio. Like, I edited it down because it was such a long pause, because she really had to think, like, I've just been to so many fucking dark rooms, which was my first one. And I'm like, that's like saying, I don't remember my first beer. Anyways, folks, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Fempath.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
But I just think the more people in the space who are owning sexuality publicly, it like does help all of us, even if it is a... I guess trickle down has never been a good thing, but...
Are you proposing Reaganomics for sexuality?
I mean, maybe. I'm like, if... I don't know, if one big straight cis... guy, like actor in Hollywood, just started making porn. I feel like in 5 years it might help me out. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, we might be feeling a little of that because 2020, like a lot of Hollywood people decided to like get on the OnlyFans train. I mean, not all of them were terrible, like Bella Thorne. You know, like Michael B. Jordan started one. He was showing a little root.
Yeah,
and Devin Sawa had one for a hot minute and then got frustrated and quit it.
Yeah, I want, like, I feel like there's so many, like, Armie Hammer, I'm like, why don't you should go for it right now. Like, you can't work right now, so, like, I think you...
Make vor porn, like, that's his calling.
Yeah, I'm like, there's a whole world who are into your kink, and you can monetize this instead of being, I think he's, like, selling real estate. Your naked thing. I also did a naked comedy show.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it? Asking for it.
It sounds familiar.
It was a show at the Public, the Public Theater.
Was it a blonde chick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when it was in the news. I think maybe like 2015-ish. Does that sound vaguely right?
She's done it. It's Adrienne Trescott, and she's done it for years. It started as a solo show, but then we did it at the Public, and it was like a cast of 12, but like people rotating in and out, and there's like three mainstays, but it was all comedy about rape.
Mm-hmm.
But then the whole cast was naked just from the waist down, so we wore like jean jackets and yeah, it was very modest waist up. But my god, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do ever, and I can't believe I'm talking to someone else who's done stand-up comedy naked.
Wait, I thought that was a one-woman show.
It started as it, but then we did like a run at the Public, and it was a group thing, and
oh, sick.
I was the only dick bearer, which is the grossest way to say AMAP person. But and one of the reviews was like, they specifically were like, but Mari's swinging dick was too distracting for us to focus on, like.
We all know what that means.
I mean, I guess it's a compliment.
Well, I mean, when people ask about the naked comedy show, they go like, is it distracting? I go, no, they forget that you're naked after the first 30 to 90 seconds. Unless you have a really big dick, then that's distracting. I had one guy on who was like, he had a whole fucking elbow in the middle of it. I'm like, all right, well, I guess that's how this 8 minutes is going to go.
I mean, I think you can do both. I mean, I think that's what Short Bus was. It's like, can you listen to a story and let the themes wash over you and be turned on and watch people fuck and hold those all at the same time? Like, I think it's possible to be turned on and also listen to what someone's saying. I don't think we're that lizard brain that we can't, you know.
I think so, but there's also an element of, like, if you hear me tell a suicide joke and then you feel aroused, like, I think that's a you problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm so nervous. I just, like, I got all freaked out.
You're nervous?
Yeah.
You perform with your dick hanging out.
I do.
How could this be the nerve-wracking?
I get.
The way Naked Comedy goes, like, I'm never going to be nervous on stage again, unless there's industry in the room.
No, it is bizarre. It's very bizarre. Like, I, you know, obviously film a lot of porn. I film, like, myself, you know, getting fucked by, like, many people. And then that is less scary to me than, like, clothed taking a picture and posting on Instagram is, like, scarier than, like, posting porn on Twitter for some reason. And, like, it's the same thing with this. Like, writing, I don't know, being vulnerable about, like, sexual assault or sexuality in a controlled space. I guess it's because it feels artistic. It feels like it's, like, somewhat separate from me, but, like, this is scary because it feels like me, you know?
Yeah. That's ideally what I would like, is I would like to get you.
Yeah.
You said, like, oh, no, I'm fempath. I was like, I'll call you a fempath, but, like, I want you, not, like, ideally not any character you play out in the world.
I mean, I did tease my partner. I was like, should I just be British? Should I just try out
you would have fooled me because I told you how, like, ignorant I was of who you were, but rather I was in love with, and I haven't seen the show, so it's just the idea of what you're doing. I was like, I need to know this person.
Have you seen any, like,
immersive theater,
well, theatrical sex shows before?
No, Hamilton doesn't count, right? Okay.
No, Hamilton, unfortunately, that would have been, I would love that. That would've been hot.
I mean, I've seen, like, kind of like how they described in the Them interviews. Like, I've seen, like, performances at play parties where, like, they'll stop and, but, you know, I mean, it used to be kind of lame. I remember, like, I don't know, 8-9 years ago when I first started going, you know, we'd stop all in the middle because, like, so and so wants to play the bass, and but they do it on top of the play space, and everyone's just standing around, be like, are they gonna be fucking done yet? But sometimes it's really cool. Like, the best performance I've ever seen was, there's this, like, dude doing, like, sexy magic. They're, like, a little 5-6 minute thing. And at one point, takes out, like, a yellow balloon. Ah, hey, yellow balloon. Inflates it and then swallows it whole. Cool. Goes into another trick. Mm-hmm. And then after that trick, all of a sudden goes, oh, ooh, someone's got a tummy ache. And I was like, oh, no. Ooh. This only goes one of two ways. He turned around and he pulled out one of those, and long, this is not like a small, one of those long yellow, pulled it all out of his butthole, not a speck of brown on it.
Well, that's talent. And it's not the same one, obviously.
No, it's not.
That's the trick.
That fucked me up for 2 months. I thought about it, like, almost every day until I finally saw him at another party and I fucking cornered him. And I was like, I mean, like, in a non scary way, but I was like, hey, you gotta tell me what the fuck happened. And then he told me a secret. I was like, that's what I thought it was, but, like, it seemed really fucking intense. That's a lot of commitment for the bit. He was like, I fisted myself for an hour and a half in the bathroom before I inserted it.
Yeah, it would terrify me. A glow job. First name Glow, last name
Who I've
job.
Seen, who performed at a different party, same place, but, like, I'd seen perform as well.
Did you see the banana number?
I did not. I don't think I saw the banana number, no.
So, I mean, I agree with you. I think if someone pulls out we have a room for, we had, like, a space for, like, aftercare. So in that space, you could do a cello number, but for our cabaret acts for Club Shortbus, they have to add to it, and Glow did a fabulous number where she did a burlesque drag act where it was like a banana and peeling and peeling and peeling until she reveals that she has one in her ass, and then she, like, eats it and then, like, feeds it to the crowd, and people went fucking crazy.
You've been going to parties for a long time.
Yeah, I've been. I feel like the space that I created was, like, or that we're creating is. A lot, the emphasis on art is different. I'm, like, backroom, you know, I'm definitely, like, more, I'm probably harder in my sexuality than the space is. Like, the space is definitely soft. It's.
By hard, you mean more intense.
Just, like, the colors of the space is, like, pinks and purples, and it's like sparkles, and it, we say from cum dumps to cuddlers. So it's like you can do whatever you want. Like, I wanted a space where you could get pissed on or blood play or whatever you want to do, and also just chat and talk and watch the stuff and have that all exist in there. But like, for me personally, I'm like all to the darkness. But I do like that. So it was kind of, it was really more out of inspiration in the movie. I was like, how do you take this film that's hardcore with a soft heart, I always say, and like make that a real thing, where first timers can feel like they're like taken care of, but also people like me and who, you know, frequent many parties, can still like find something new and still get off if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Y'all doing a hit me up?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. And so what's like give me like the short version origin story of doing Club Short Bus as an immersive play party theater experience.
Well, as a whore and a theater maker, I was constantly making work that kept getting censored, essentially. Like, I was, I did a show with, like, sex tapes of mine. It was always a struggle to get it in theaters, and it was always a struggle to, there's all this red tape. So I basically wanted to create a space where I could, like, make art that has eroticism front and forward and not have anyone censor me. And to do that, I like couldn't do it in a theater. I was like, let's, instead of being a theater, it's an experience. And so that was like my like career.
Just think of it as like you want to always talk in. So like if you're gonna look this way, just like kind of move it with you. That's
okay.
Yeah.
Do.
It's okay. The content of your, what you're saying, you, no reason to be nervous. You're doing great. I just want to make sure they can hear it clearly.
Should I go back?
No, you're great.
Okay, cool.
You think I'm going to cut that interaction just then? Not a fucking chance.
No, it has to be seamless. I have to seem super professional and great.
Never.
So I wanted to make art that used live sex as an element to it. And that was like a goal of mine. And I acted in a radio musical called Homunculus that John Cameron Mitchell did. And I'm friends with him. And I always loved Short Bus, and I always had this dream of, I thought in like 40, 50 years, when I have millions of dollars, I'll do an immersive adaptation Short Bus where it is an actual artistic salon and sex club. And then the pieces started to just come together of like how to actually do this. And I pitched to John like a year and a half ago. The idea was just like, stop trying to make roundabout, let us do a sex show, but instead like go to hit me up, you know, use Red Eye tickets as the ticketing platform, like go be the most artistic of the sex parties instead of being like the most sexual.
Sexy of the theater shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So once I figured that out, I was like, oh, I actually see like the legal way of doing this and the, also how to connect with that community instead of trying to like, you know, bring downtown folk to you know, some theater I rented and then try and pretend like we're not having like bareback sex up in here.
And then there's definitely like, yeah, some Gen Xers in the audience being like, someone paid for an art degree for this. No.
I mean, literally. There was one comment on our time, we had a Time Out article, and that we got decimated in the comments for people who were all just like anti-sex party period.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm fine with because it was, but
there's anti-nudity, simple naked comedy. That our Time Out interview fucking also got weird comments too. People just weird about literally multiple people have said, this is why Rome fell. Like, okay, sure.
Yeah, we just got a lot of vomit emojis. And my favorite was, this is what happens when theater kids are left unsupervised.
I mean, that's not wrong.
I know. I was like, you're correct. That's what's happening right now.
How are you friends with John?
Okay.
That told me so much.
Yeah, okay, we dated for a while.
Oh,
that's okay. The real story. But I was like, we dated for a while, and I met him at a, I was working on a show, and he came to the opening party, that was an assistant on, and then we chatted, and then, you know, broke up quickly thereafter, but then stayed friends, and then, you know, I'm excited. I'm very happy we've stayed friends. And
you already seen Short Bus?
I had not. I saw it while we were dating because I was like, I should probably know why people are shocked when I say that I'm dating this person.
But it wasn't like some sort of like star, like OMG kind of. It was just like some dude you worked with.
I probably should have known, but I didn't. I mean, I knew just by other people's reactions, like what he meant, but I didn't what he meant to like queer people mm-hmm. and, you know, artistic spaces. And then I kind of discovered it. But I always loved Short Bus the most of his work. I just thought it. There's so many. Not so many, but there's a handful of films that have unsimulated sex in them, but so few are sweet. So it's very like Lars von Trier, and it's always like the someone at the brink of collapse. And for this one, it was felt like people, you know.
It's also just kind of like part of life, the way sex was in there. I mean, the sex is used in so many different ways. It's sad, suicidal. It's loving. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. It's eye-opening, like depending on the sex scene we're talking about, but that's all, and that's life.
Yeah,
like, we use sex for all those reasons in there. It doesn't just have to be like a climactic moment where, like, what can we use to show that big things happen? Oh, what if there's sex? It's like, no, like, also sometimes you just fuck.
Yeah,
I don't know if you always so casually suck your own dick or come on your own face, but like, you know, otherwise, I think it was pretty.
I mean, I don't.
Look, we're not all as blessed as you.
I mean, okay? I can't suck my own dick, but I'm like, I feel like I do extreme things. I'm like, well, that's just a Tuesday, you know? It's not like out of the ordinary. Yeah, yeah, it does. You forget how, yeah, it's very, I think people take away different things from it, but it's very funny, but also very, there's an intensity to it and a wide swath of depictions of sexuality. And mm-hmm. we had, a fabulous intimacy coordinator, Raja Benz, who helped coordinate we did like some simulated sex, but all of the simulated, like the theatrical sex, our rule was if the sex was bad, then that would be simulated and we'd make it intentionally
bad, as in like bad intention, or just like, oh, it's not very sexy.
Like the characters are like, I'm not gonna ask Jonah Wheeler to like have actual sex and pretend to be having bad sex, yeah. Or assault, exactly, like those okay. ones
you did mean bad, like poor quality,
yeah,
okay.
poor quality, or yeah,
I would never make you get poorly laid.
Or just like, that's just a mind fuck. I'm like, if you're going to have a real experience, you know, in front of this audience, I want it to be real and I want it to be fun for you. Mm-hmm. And that's like too many hats on a hat. So for those, we'd have them be like, obviously theatrical. Like we're not pretending like we're having sex. And then for the ones that, for the moments that are important to the story, like Sophia learning to orgasm, those ones we did for real. And
did y'all flicker the lights?
We did. Oh, for the blackout.
That's when she first comes in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's a blackout.
Yeah. We took some liberties and we switched a lot of things, but yes, we had some flickering lights, and then kind of blew everyone's minds and squirted
profusely,
and yeah, we had to tape it out. We're like, what's the farthest you can go so we can add another 5 feet? And we got a little dicey, but everyone was dry at the end. And we told them at the top, we were like, if you're in the front row, life happens.
That's one way of saying you might get cummed on.
Yeah. Like you know, we spent so much energy at the top of the Justin, my partner plays the, Justin Sayer, plays the mistress of Short Bus. And we like do this kind of initiation and a lot of education within the show and also at the top to let people know exactly what they're in for if they didn't already. Although we try to be as loud as humanly possible. I don't know how you could buy tickets to the event and not know what it is at this point. But
isn't that weird? People don't read descriptions of what they buy. Not the most cheap tickets for. Yeah. I've had people go to a naked comedy show and not know it was going to be naked.
One of my best friends was so excited to see the show, and she knew I was working on it for like a year, and I was like, oh, we have to figure, this is this porn star we're trying to get, and da 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 da. And then like a week before, she's like, wait, there's real sex. And I was like, what did you think was happening? She was like, I thought it was going to be behind a curtain. I'm like, why would I do that?
Also, there's a sense of like, I imagine someone who like knows you and it's like, I've known you for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What about knowing you makes you think I was going to hide it behind a curtain?
Well, I'm just like, what would be the point? Like, yeah. No, it's
just do a puppet show at that point.
It's out of people's realm of possibility. We had a couple people leave after Joan and Benny did their thing, but they weren't storming out. They were just like mildly disturbed, which is all right. It's not for everybody. And we also say like, if it's too much for you, like you can leave and come back and leave and come back. Like, did people play in the audience? Are they allowed to?
No. Yeah, it's no sex. It's we don't confuse it for some people have said, because the rental's all night, mm-hmm. so in theory I could have a play party afterwards. But like, mm-hmm. bitch, I want to go home. Like, I want to go sleep. Like, I'm tired. Like, I'm not trying to. I never want to be responsible for an entire sex party.
Yeah,
I don't trust men enough for that. Like, I trust myself just enough mm-hmm. for that. Right, I don't have to be responsible for other guys. So no, but no play allowed. But it's also why it's clothing optional on the first two rows and not in the back, because I don't need like some dude in the back corner where it's a little darker, like doing something. I don't need that problem. We don't have a splash zone.
Yeah. Well, we have like an early show at 7 and then at 10 p.m. that like leads into a play party. So yeah. If you just are like, I really like experimental art and I just want to see the show, then you can do the 7 one. And that one we don't do clothes check. So like you can. Yeah. So people don't have. So there's no nudity in the audience.
So people can play during the second, the late experience. People could play in the audience lightly.
They we say that this is the foreplay, pun intended, and that it's a tease, so like keep your hands to yourself, and that's like one of the rules. And then like,
well, what kind of to yourself?
And we also say they have a line that's, they're like, repeat after me, I'll keep my hands to myself does not mean my genitals. And everybody seemed to, yeah, there was some like making out that we saw, which is fine, but it's also seeing if they could follow direction. It's like seeing if they can if they, there's like a circle in the center where the performers do their thing, and like whether they cross the line. And we're lucky the first time, but everyone was lying, everyone was respectful, and then everyone had fun when the proverbial curtain closed.
Yeah. I find it interesting that you watch Short Bus, it seems, after you've already been the group sex events or play parties.
Yeah.
And I saw it in high school, senior year. I was at boarding school. And it was like, I got the DVD because I bought the Aristocrats.
The cartoon?
No, not the Aristocats. Like, what? The Aristocrats was a documentary about a very dirty joke. Like 100.
Oh, yes. I've seen that. Yes.
But it's produced by Think Film, who also produced Short Bus. So Amazon recommends 17-year-old me, like, hey, you like the Aristocrats? Do you want this fuck film? And I was like, sure, I don't know what it's about. And then like I'm watching it on my little, like, you remember the old school like portable DVD player, so it's a little screen, and I'm like in my bed being like, what the fuck am I watching? But it was also like a cool movie. I was just like so surprised I was like seeing sex. I was like nervous my wing parent would come into the room and see and be like, are you watching porn? Because we couldn't have porn.
No, it's art.
No, I mean, that was like one of my workarounds where I was like, it's not, I don't have porn, but I can definitely jerk off to this movie.
Yeah. I think I knew, I jerked off to the selected scenes from Pornhub before, but I didn't see the full thing, I guess, until.
You didn't know the motivation of the characters.
No, I didn't. I was, yeah.
But yeah. How would you compare Short Bus to play parties that you've been to?
There's more art. That's like it's softer. I think, I go to a lot of either like trans spaces or like I'm kind of on an undercover, like a hood or whatever. I'm an undercover, like I kind of play the role of like a cis guy at a sex party, because when you're, you know, at Berghain or whatever, in a, I don't know what they're called, those like glory hole things, but they're for your ass.
I don't know the name for him. I just see him a lot of like weird Czech porn.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was that. Which, my God, I just think it's like, I get emotional. I'm like, it was transcendent. But I'm like,
you can cry talking about butt fucking here. Oh,
thank
it's safe.
You. Thank you. I feel like we're in a safe space. Yeah. No. So I'm not leading with my identity, or like, I'm not. I'm definitely like, I don't know your name vibes. And so this is like kind of, oh, and then there's some like house parties I go to, but it's the difference between this and those is, one, it's definitely all are welcome. Like our, you know, there's a mix of like queer people and straight people. And, you know, there was like elderly people and just the types of play. It's like really different across the board. So it feels like the film, which is like an amalgam. It's like all of these like, different misfit toys in one space. And so that's like what we were actively trying to create. And even though like my personal flavor is like, you know, the whipping and the spitting and hitting, which is represented there, I think the difference is that it just is all held in one space, and it is all kind of held up as like not just being okay, but being really like part of the art. I think that was something. It's like when Jonah and Benny, and even Alex does like a scene where Alex plays Severin, and they do a scene where they play Severin and Rob and like whip, they play Severin and, they play Severin and Rob and they like whip themselves as, they play two characters at once. Okay. But for all of those, it's like in the mix of like people going up and doing other acts, and weirdly it all feels like flavors of the same thing. Like we're putting porn and sexual performance as in the same family as like a beautiful monologue, and it does feel that way. Like it just changes the space because we're taking the seediness out of it, and especially after, you know, Jonah and Benny and all so vulnerable, it makes everything that the people at the party do after feel like feels a lot easier. It's just like they've already jumped into the deep end.
I know you've only had the one, but do you feel like you had a lot of sex party newbies at the later portion?
Yes, we had a thing for the I know, because we had a lot of people email
and they'll tell you.
Yeah,
they'll be like, this was my first time. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah.
And that was our biggest thing, is I was like, I'm not trying to necessarily create a space that like, I want to make a space that those people, the people who are usually uncomfortable in sexual spaces, feel the most welcome. Mm-hmm. And that was like an objective goal. And to also have it be a space that like reflected New York City and like had, we're a majority POC city, even though like white people are the biggest piece of the pie. But like that was a concerted effort, and that for the performers who are kind of, and the creative team who are showing what this whole thing is about, I wanted them to like reflect the city, and they also bring their own people. I think that's like kind of the trick to like making a diverse space, is like, well, who are the people who are creating this? Who are the people who are performing? And are those people like from across the city? And I think we did that. I think a lot of parties are doing something like, I go to like this, like, it's like an interracial specific party, but it's like daddy's has a flavor. And then like, there are parties that get very specific where they're like, white femmy, like femboys and, you know, older black guys. And that's okay. Like
some people will be like, can you refer me to a queer sex party? I'd be like, yeah, but like what kind of queer?
Exactly.
Like, because they'll be specific.
And I was worried that, I feel like the trick a lot of the times is specificity. It's like people who are like, I'm into this specific thing and you're into my specific thing and we're coming together and we're having sex. So I was like, what is going to happen when it goes across the board? And I was trying to make a space that like celebrated sexuality and erotic art, number one, and the capacity for sex as like the second goal. But it was easy. Like we just, the show ended, the lights turned down, and then they were off to the races. And so that was like a lesson for me, is because I didn't know if, you know, having,
will people play
if they're in a space that's like, you know, with so many different tastes and yeah, tomato didn't taste represented in one room, but they did. And so that was a huge weight off my shoulders because I just didn't know because I'd never been to a space quite like that.
I got to imagine that, like, it's also facilitated, especially when you got, you know, a sizable amount of newbies in that, mm-hmm. well, they all just watched, effectively, they did watch people have some kind of sex. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the lights change, and now you can, too. And it's like, now it's like, well, they did, so now I guess I can. Like, similar, like, where, at the gangbang, someone's always got to go first. Yeah. Someone's got to, you can't let her have her pussy up in the air for too long. Like, someone's got to get in there first, then everybody else gets comfortable, and now they all feel like they can get in there. But somebody's got to be first, and it's, you know, it's good. It's you basically, like, the performance ends up, like, you have ringers.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, well, they're a safe bet.
Yeah, I mean, we call it a foreplay for a reason, yeah. Because it really is just a it's just a very curated, costumed, lighting, you know, lit foreplay to what is creating this space, which hopefully, like, we want the party part in the next, you know, iterations to be longer, and, like, we're also treat the foreplay is you have to have seen the foreplay to come back. So all the people who've gone for Valentine's Day can just come to the play party because everybody passed the test and everyone was good. But if you're new, then I force you to come watch my show and see if you pass the test, and then you can join the party after. But I also love, it was fun to, I was like, how can I make this, you know, consent education actually fun?
Yeah. What do y'all do?
We do like we did some demonstrations at the top of it. Jonah and I did one. We did like dark room etiquette, which is not as complicated as people think.
Okay. So now I've been doing the show 10 years. It's very rare. We have topics that we haven't touched upon yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week, foot skin. I didn't know people were selling foot skin.
I didn't know either until earlier today.
Thank you, Felicia.
It. Yeah.
And I think only was it like alluded to in Gregor's book, Who Needs Gay Bars, mm-hmm. alluded to the concept of the dark room, but like in the context of like bars, can you just tell us a little bit about dark rooms, what they are, maybe where they are, and like then maybe get into a bit of the etiquette? Because like it's one of those things where I'm like, yo, I know fucking nothing. I know I have an idea from the name, mm-hmm. and that's where my knowledge ends.
Yeah, well, I think the name says it all. It's a borderline pitch black room in which you're essentially grazing by people and through feeling alone deciding who to play with. And our etiquette is it's nonverbal, so people really aren't talking aside from like light dirty talk, but it's typically considered taboo to like have an open conversation within there. So a lot of it's physical. It's like, if someone grazes your elbow and then you pull away, that's a no. And if someone grazes your elbow and you stay and then they like engage and touch your forearm, then that's a yes. And
so like arms is the first set of touch. I don't know like how formalized any of this is. I don't know if you get like if there's a thing in the light outside of the dark room that like kind of explains for dark room newbies, but like the whole thing seems precarious, but like also kind of hot.
I mean, the risk with it is because obviously for consent stuff, you're in a completely dark space. So like seeing who is doing what is more difficult, but if someone's being abusive, I don't find consent like an actually difficult thing to understand. I think we have a lot of like language and theories about it, but I do feel like it's really instinctual and obvious. And this one, it's just like, is the body getting closer to you or moving away from you? I'm trying to describe what we did, but it's essentially, it's whether they touch you or not. And I've had like some of my best sexual experience in dark room. And sometimes you'll like be in the dark room and you'll have a really good experience with someone, and then you'll go into the light and then, you know, go home or whatever. Mm. And our dark room was like not totally dark. So I don't know if ours was a dim room, I guess you'd say. But okay. Yeah, I think there's something absolutely freeing, and it obviously comes from, you know, it's like the history of like gay men being in the literal shadows, and like I think there's a thrill to that, to like, you know, this thing that was a necessity for, you know, generations, and then now is like, at least in New York City, more it's a choice. It's like we're dabbling in this, in like, in
it's clandestine fuckery.
Yeah,
I mean, are you kind of like auto consenting? Because there's some spaces where the consent levels are set up to be like hypersensitive, where like, oh, don't even do non-sexual touch without asking. Mm-hmm. And here it sounds like you consent to some level of some kind of touch by entering.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. There. Yeah. What would be, what you can establish with eye contact outside of the dark room, you obviously can't do inside there. So if you're stepping into a dark room, the to be touched period, like that is by walking in, you're consenting. And we try to be explicit about that. Mm. At the top of the show. So people know what they're getting into.
What was your first dark room experience?
My first, this is one of those like, sorry, I'm going through the memory bank.
It's okay. It's fascinating to watch someone not trying to figure out which time. Cause so for so many people, and as you think, it's like they go to, a lot of people may go to a play party. I feel like there's the civilians out there. Mm-hmm. They measure sex parties as one orgy, two orgies, so many orgies, right? Like that's, so if they may have been one, maybe two, if that. So to think like I've been to so many, which one was the fucking first one? Like I remember my first, like I know I could tell you which my first gangbang was, which mm-hmm. my first bukkake was, which my first threesome was, right? Which was my first threesome, but I don't want to count it as my first threesome. Like I could like kind of pinpoint those.
Yeah, it's strange. It's all a blur. I'm like, I'm like invisibly disabled and have like, chronic illness, and I'm just generally very foggy, so okay. Like there's a chance of that, but I don't think this was the first, but just I went to the black party when I was like in college or something. Like my teacher actually was like, you would enjoy the black party, just because I was wearing like a collar in class and he was queer, and I was like,
a cool even
just
teacher.
the setup of a teacher telling me to do that like turns me on. I'm like, oh,
I have homework.
Yeah, exactly. But then I went, and there's like that's like it's thousands and thousands of people. It's like it's giant, and almost exclusively like you know, gay men. Mm. But there's, what was it like? It was packed. I mean, if you have a cold, everyone will have it. No, my God. Other than it just being one of the hottest experiences of my life. Yeah, I mean, it was a bacchanalia. It was just everybody. Like you're, it feels like you're swimming in a sea of bodies. Mm. It can get overwhelming, but, then you go to the dance floor. Mm. And there is enough, like I had one guy at a thing in Berlin who was not, I slept with lots of people that night, but, yeah, there was one guy who would not leave me alone, was like too rough. But not in a way that, I don't know, I was not doing it right. And I was like, yes, I realize that I'm in, you know, stirrups or whatever, but like, I'm done. Goodbye. Yeah. But then people, intervened and we're like, back the fuck off. That's so good. There is like, I think there's a lot of looking out for each other in these spaces. Hopefully, I think even, you know, when it's a sex worker or someone who does porn, I think people assume there's a confidence there, mm-hmm. and like a freedom with your body, that there's just a lot of assumptions. Yeah, like
I mean, you're a big old hoe, and like, look how like kind of nervous you are today.
I know,
right? So it's like it's almost as if you're a human being.
Well, it's also like I feel like for me, I get out my. I feel like I'm, you know, cock destroyer vibes in the sexual world, and so like that's where I can do it. And also as a creative, I'm like I take really big risks, but then I'm afraid at the if I'm like in an Uber and the person's playing the music too loud, I like. I'll tell this story. It might be good. We'll see. So I have like chronic illness. So I get headaches. Loud noises are really tough. Like I have sound sensitivity, and I was on my way to get my blood tested, and, the driver is playing Living La Vida Loca at like the highest decibel. And I was like, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to say, excuse me, do you mind turning the music down? And I was like, but he's going to say something awkward. He's going to say something weird. And then I'm going to be awkward. And then everything's going to be terrible. And then I waited like 5 minutes. I was like, you can do this. You can do this. He's like, excuse me, sir. Could you please turn down the music? And then he was like, the music has been playing for like 15 minutes. Why did you say something? And I was like, it just got annoying now. I'm sorry. That was a bad story. Damn it.
No, but what's interesting is there's an element of self-advocacy that seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, mm-hmm. do you feel like you have the confidence to advocate for yourself sexually, whether it's one-on-one in bed or like in a group sex scenario?
Yeah.
And yet to ask to turn down a, which frankly, offensive enough, he's just playing the song. I'd have been like, yo, bro, can you skip this one? But you're nervous to ask to turn the music down. But you'll be like, excuse you, like you'll be like, no, I don't want you to touch that.
Yeah.
Is interesting to me. But I wonder if it's
definitely not healthy.
Not healthy, but like what I was gonna wonder was like, is it better than the reverse? Which I feel like so many women are in that position where They'll tell the Uber driver to turn it down, but they have a real hard time saying no once they're in the bed with somebody.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's like every day a little death. I don't know. Like, which... I mean, I'm trying to... I think part of even like talking to you today and Shortbus is like trying to take like the personal power I find from sexuality and like actually put it in the world and like own it for me as a person. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do it. I just like it. That's why I love, you know, all the folks in the podcast, because that's what they're doing. They're all, and this is like a step towards that, but it's confusing because even in the actual act, I have confidence, but like in the discussion of it or who I am in these spaces, like I'm an intimacy coordinator. So I like choreograph simulated sexuality. I do porn. I'm a sex worker. I make theater. And there's one more that I always forget.
And barista.
And a barista. And I make a sick... And I, yeah.
Do a great mochaccino.
But like, how to... And I'm a trans femme person, mm-hmm. but I'm also like... I'm not on hormones and I'm...
You're not?
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, just
the skin's very like clear, radiant type.
Well, I'm wearing makeup, but thank you so much. Wait, that made my day.
Oh.
This should be the cut. I think it should be like, your skin is radiant. No, but I'm not. So I feel very like caught in all these different worlds where I'm like half in and half out, and ultimately trying to like not have them be compartmentalized and have them actually feed off of each other, you know? Mm. And it makes these conversations like very strange and fun and exciting, but also I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know which like lens to look at things through, because I can look at it from like and a rape crisis counselor, that was the other one. I knew there was a fifth one that had something to do with it that wasn't a barista or a coffee shop. Okay, I'm jumping around, but
you're talking viewing things, can't figure out which lens to look through, but have you not found a lens where it's like we're putting all the lenses in front of each other and that makes your unique view as fempath?
I mean, that's what Shortbus is supposed to be. I have a number, which I was just dead and I couldn't do it, but I do a cover of Throat Goat by Kim Petras, but I play it on the piano and it's, I say, oh, wait, I'm going to spoil it for everybody, but I'll spoil it for everybody. So I say like, sorry, everybody, this is I know all these sexual things are happening right now, but like, I just want to bring it down to a real place. This is for my dear friend Shadoy, a Mongolian goat farmer who passed. And then I wear like a black veil and then I play piano and sing Throat Goat, but then I get ill like 30 seconds in. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just need, what's first? Oh, I need some potassium, and then I deep throat a banana, and then I sing a next verse while deep throat the banana, and then I get sick again, and then I do a cucumber because I'm like, I need some vegetables, and then the last one is like, I'm sorry, everybody, I'm hungry, I think I'm thirsty for dick, and then because I've created space for it, I can actually have an audience volunteer and don't have to use Bruce my dildo.
But you didn't get to do it.
No, I'm gonna do it.
So the next time,
Oh, yes, this is an advertisement. So yeah. During this number, someone please, for God's sake, volunteer. Although I do have a backup dildo just in case. But yes.
That See, that's the type of thing where I go like, Chuck, when you asked in the Discord server, who do you have to fuck to get an invite? Seems... I feel like Chuck's a nice man, but he will probably be the first to volunteer for that.
Great. Okay, great. I mean, I was like,
yeah. Shout out Chuck.
I was going to like plant. I was like, you know, ask some friends, like, get if nobody volunteers, please volunteer.
I'm surprised you don't have like a plant, like, because like then it's like you can plant a dick you know you like.
Well, I don't.
Or is that part of the theater experience? Hey, I might not like this dick. We're all going to find out.
Yeah. I mean, I would love if it could be like longer and then the other one. So it's like a nice, mm-hmm. you know, progression. Yeah. It'd be kind of, but also I want to give it to, also, you know, I want to do my bit, my part and give back to the, you know,
give back to the community.
Give back to the community.
Spelled C-U-M-M.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really rolling the dice to invite like any dick.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, from cum dubs to cuddlers.
Okay.
So, I mean, oh, I do have rules. I think I might say no exes.
Okay, that's fair enough. Sorry, John.
Not wait. I mean, yes. No exes.
No exes.
Yeah, because some exes came and I was like, I'm not gonna. That would not fly.
Okay.
But I did do it once, and the do you know the Radical Fairies?
Name sounds familiar. I think I probably follow them on Twitter or something.
They're a
band.
No.
Oh, then I don't know.
Okay, I'm not a spokesperson for Radical Fairies, but essentially, like, spirituality, cruising, camping, drag, been around since the 70s, but I did this act at a gathering over the summer, and this one, I just did it with a dildo, but the when I put in the cucumber hadn't, it was like, when I practiced earlier, it was like frozen, and then it kind of, when I took it out, it like kind of cracked, but I thought like the crack would help it bend. Uh-huh. So then I put in this giant cucumber down my throat, played the piano and sang a verse. And then when I took it out, half of the cucumber was stuck in the back of my throat.
Oh no.
And besides being mortified that I was like, I can't throw up right now because that will, I can't say I have no gag reflex and then vomit in front of this crowd of people, but it was there. And then I tried to swallow it, but it was about the size of a fist. And I was like, I can't do it. And then.
Did everyone just think that was part of the act?
It was, I think.
I would have not come up to help you because I would be like, no, this is, they worked real hard writing this.
Because I faked being sick right before that. With the saying, I need some potassium and even the peanut. It was like the first row was like, you're going to die. The back row was like, this is like another part of the act. Like, this is another trick. And then the middle row was, you know, 50-50. And then I turned around and kind of like Heimlicked myself. And then it spewed out. Turned back around with a smile. And then was said like something about gag the fag. And then... deep throated the next dildo, which was bigger. So I was like, I feel like my reputation is on the line, but it wasn't my fault. So now I know for the cucumbers, I just have to let them sit out a little longer. So they're not like,
oh my.
And also real cocks don't like snap off.
Unless you do something goes horribly wrong.
Horribly, horribly wrong. So I was like, for any, you know, prospective, you know, suitors, like, you're not the cucumber. It's going to be okay.
That story freaked me out. I'm surprised you're here today. But hey, that's a demonstration of such an important rule of theater is the audience has no idea. So act like everything's normal. Yeah. No, I was supposed to Heimlich it out. Yeah. That was totally planned.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Sure, your partner could call 911. The EMTs could have shown up and everyone would be like, this show is great. It's got everything.
I know. I should. Oh, that would be good if I like had like, oh, ah, okay, wait. So, wait, I'm just having ideas. I'm like, maybe...
Fake EMTs?
Well, fake EMTs.
Stripper like, EMTs?
They look like EMTs, and then they would, like, take off the stuff and then be strippers, and then I'd have sex with them, and then it'd be like, what? But that seems like a lot of coordination.
We just came up with magic.
Yeah. No, I love...
The most difficult part would be recreating choking.
No.
To get, like, a piece stuck, because, like, I mean,
I imagine... Get the actual stuck.
I imagine everyone was very much, like, they believed that that was in your throat, because they saw... They saw a hole go in and half come out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How do I mimic it?
Without actually killing... Make sure one of the strippers actually is an EMT. Just be like...
Yeah.
Yeah, just in case. Just let it back up.
Well, Well, I don't know if I can say this, but I know an EMT who's also a sex worker. So I'm like, oof,
that's perfect a person. Perfect.
Yeah. I do like that. I like a Heimlich act that turns into a sex show.
I'm going to use this clip right here as as part of my resume. But like, I can be in a writer's room. I can collaborate. Absolutely. And then I think I read that the safe word is Dr. Donut.
Oh, yeah. Well, goddamn you, Dr. Donut, but Dr. Donut, yeah.
Who is a character in the film, which is one of the more ridiculous parts.
Mm-hmm.
It also seems like are you collaborative with the show portion of Club Short Bus? Like, or was it you wrote a thing and then they did your vision, or did you collaborate on the vision with the actors?
Oh, I mean, I directed it and I wrote it.
Okay.
And I...
Well, because that's how... my understanding was that was kind of how John and crew... developed the film was that it was kind of this like year or two where they all the actors everyone they're all kind of collaborating on like what the story is, where these characters go and such.
Yeah, it's the movie's a lot more improv based. Ours is definitely more like taking the film.
No improvising.
Yeah,
there's no. You say it as it's on the page.
I mean,
now squirt. Okay.
I didn't not. You just like quoted me in rehearsal. I'm like, yes, say the words that are written on the page. This is not a suggestion. Yeah, no, ours isn't improvised. It's like taking the stories that were there and then also fleshing them out. Like we took liberties, and I worked with John and like talked him through my outline and where I was taking it and how we also moved it to 2024. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest difference is that it felt like, what if people at Short Bus put on a show about Short Bus and like, what would that look like? Like so it's like very campy. Like Rob is played by a blow up doll. Like the remote control that is like
for the egg
giant and like thrown into the audience. And then like the person who catches the remote, then has to play a kazoo. Playing the egg, and like the band cues them every time they... Oh, I always forget to mention this just because every article has not said this, but I'm just going to plug them now.
Do it.
The Antia Miller, Brad and Keenan, Ruffin are the band, and they improvise music during the... They did Scott Matthew Beautiful Music that we got the rights to, so they did those numbers as well. So it's quite musical, but then also during the live erotic moments, it was like improvised music from the three of them.
Do they do We All Get Fucked in the End?
We All Get It in the End.
We All Get It in the End.
Which to me is like, we're all going to die, but you interpret it as we're all going to get fucked in the end?
Yeah. But I mean, your reading's definitely more right, because now that I'm remembering, that kind of gets sung like towards the end when he's talking to the Ed Koch type. That, okay, I never thought about it like that. But they do the song?
Yeah, no.
I'm now more excited to go.
Yeah, Malia, who plays Sophia, has a beautiful, beautiful voice. And... So does Justin, who plays Mistress. But yeah, and then they do the marching band, which we really want the Hungry Marching Band. Fortunately, we can't afford them. They reached out. I want to hire them, but like they're a large band. That's a lot of, you know, that's a lot. So we had like children's musical instruments, like tiny little. And so our cast was the marching band. And then we also gave the audience some kazoos, so they joined in. But yeah, I think the spirit of it, it's a lot campier. It's a lot like it's very obviously we're putting on a show.
In Short Bus, which character do you see yourself most as and why?
Probably Jamie, because he's depressed and like pretty hypersexual and also like making art out of it that like comes from some core of himself. But also Sophia, for those who haven't seen it, woman who's never had an orgasm and is just like comedically striving for, to change her life. And like, I probably relate to her more than anyone, I guess. Because even if you've been to every sex party and you've been a sex worker for years and years, I find sex is scary often, like, or the thoughts around it. I think the actual act itself is less so, but I think we all have more fear around it. And I think I identify with someone who is continuously jumping into the unknown. And that's what she is in this movie. She, by going to Short Bus, she's jumping into the unknown. And ultimately, that's how she finds her orgasm, but more importantly, finds herself, which sounds corny, but true. I think that's what it's really about, her finding herself. Then the orgasm is just a reward.
Okay. And then what did John think? Did John see the show?
No. John's in New Orleans, but I'm very nervous. But yeah,
hopefully. So you come to the next one?
Hopefully he'll be coming to the next one, yeah. Cause
okay. Done. When you're gonna, you can prefer this, you don't have to choke in front of him this time, literally.
That's true. I wonder if he'll stay for the play party. I feel like, I know, people really want him to come. He'd be worshipped in that space. It's a beautiful tribute to, you know, what he started and trying to make it for now and bring in all of the people like yourself, who are, you know, leading the charge for sex positivity today.
Yeah.
I feel like a politician. I feel like I just...
and before we go, does anyone in the show shout, "I'm an albino"? No. Hoping maybe that make
not yet. Too. We have part two, but the albino line will make it in for part two.
I
promise you. There's certain. I'm just like, we have to have it in there.
I am so happy you're doing this, because it's this weird little fucking queer indie sexy flick that, like, also inadvertently, like, informed, like, a lot of, I think, my later sexuality in life, that, like, I would start going to play parties that actually kind of, I wouldn't say like Hacienda is just like Short Bus, but definitely, like, you know, it has these, like, you know, performances and everything, and it's very different. It definitely made me, like, ready to go to one when I finally went to one when I was 24. So, I mean, so I was like, oh my God, someone's doing a tribute to this, like, cool fucking little movie.
Yeah, I mean, the article said this, but, like, people... I have one more story.
Please.
Okay, this is, I guess... No, wait, I can't tell this story. I can't tell the story.
Can't tell a version of the story.
I can try to, but it won't work as a story. It's that... I think I can tell the story.
Okay.
We'll see. Okay, I'll tell the story.
Yeah!
Just because I think it's worth it. So after Short Bus, I was like, did it... You know, you never know what people think, other than seeing the evidence of, like, a lot of people staying and the party being good. But I was like... thinking what went right, what went wrong. And then the next day I was talking to my therapist and I was like, and he asked me how it went. I said the good, I said the bad. And then, he said, well, I have a story to tell you. I was talking to another patient this morning and, they said they couldn't sleep, and I asked why, and they said, well, I do you know this film Short Bus? And at this point in the story, I thought, like, this patient had seen Short Bus and was disturbed by it. But my therapist obviously said yes, because one, he's cool and, like, is queer and had already seen it, but was like, all right, obviously knew about it. And then he was like, well, did you go to Club Short Bus? And then his patient said yes. And then he asked his patient, What did you think of it? And then he said two words, life altering. And I was like, my God, if someone tells their therapist that, then that's like, if my partner, I mean, when reviews come out, I'm like, I trust you because you're putting it out in the world. But, like, that to me meant more than anything, because we were trying to make something that was healing and sexually free and positive. And, like, I have no idea how this person's life was altered, but, you know, but it was, like, the best. I'm taking it out of the bank, and I keeping that in pocket. I was nervous about saying it just because I was like, can they trace it back? But
no,
Fempath, you wouldn't be able to trace it, so it's fine.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm glad you got that validation. I'm sure a lot of, like, hard and flaccid work went into, you know, making this all happen. So it's nice to know that people enjoyed it and maybe even had their lives changed a little bit by it, you know? Sexuality is very freeing, and anyone who can create a space for people to discover that is beautiful.
Thank you. I mean, us talking is literally a space in which that's...
Yeah, I just throw a few extra dick jokes in. That's all. Mm-hmm. FemPath, where can people go to, like, find you, follow you, check out the show as well as your other work? Maybe when is the next? I don't know if you have a date lined up.
Yeah, we're mid-May, but if you want to come to Club Shortbus, it's on Instagram, club.shortbus. So that's club.shortbus if you are dyslexic, or I guess dyslexic people can spell. They just, never mind, I'm not going to talk about dyslexic people anymore. And FemPath, I'm on Instagram as FemPath. That's FemPath. Oh, I feel like a used car salesman. If you want to see the slutty side, Z Savage Vids on Twitter.
Fantastic. Well, I will continue. I will now refrain from barraging you with, is this going to be in the thing? Are you all going to do that? I'll do that when the mics go down. But for now, FemPath, this was great. And why don't you say goodbye to everybody, or that you're an albino, whichever you want.
I'm an albino. Bye.
Thanks again, everyone, for making these 10 years so fun, so enjoyable, so sexy, and so many other adjectives that I can't think of right now. It feels weird to say that the best place you can discuss this week's show is in the episode discussion channel in the Champagne Room, our super free, super sex positive Discord server. You know, it's in the schnotes. It just felt weird to say there because, you know, my sisters who do not listen to the show. I mean, one of them has been on the show, but that's complicated. We don't need to discuss it. My sisters, even though they're sometimes uncomfortable with the subject matter that I discuss and the fact that I'm frequently naked on the internet, they got me like a 10-year podiversary present, and I like found myself sobbing last night when it came in because they got me like a day at a spa. And the idea of spending 2.5 hours just turning my brain off and relaxing is a strange concept. Like, it's just not something I feel like I can afford to do because not enough of you are joining the Patreon. It's $2. You don't got $2. Come on. I would almost never spend that much money on myself to relax. Historically, when I spent, you know, if I spend a couple $100 or more, it's for like a, a little bit of a self-destructive reason. And yet here was an excuse. Here was like a permission to enjoy myself because I have a weird job. I have a job where I'm kind of always working and I'm kind of always not working. And that can fuck with your brain a little bit. I don't have too much of a regular schedule. I'm trying to fix that, but because like so far most of my schedule is any shows that I have, and then like every Wednesday an episode has to come out, and everything else, it's very non-committal. I thought, anyways, that was really sweet, folks. If you want to support the podcast, if you want to support me, I don't always plug all these things. I will just remind you that my Venmo, my Cash App, my PayPal, that's all in the show notes. My bookshop.org link, if you want to support independent bookstores while you support an indie podcaster like me, that's in the schnotes. If you want to support the work that I do, but you also want to see my penis in the process, my OnlyFans, schnotes. And of course, the best place, the place that allows me to feel some sense of financial security, continues to be Patreon, where I will soon, very soon, be offering ad-free episodes for $3 a month. And frankly, like for the rest of the month of April, you can get my biggest annual discount possible. You can get 16% off. That's basically like 2 months off an annual membership when you pay it all up front at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. If you can't, since you can't share the show because that's all too scary and shit, it's $2. At least until next week, it's $2. Give it to me. And then go make somebody come. Even if it's just yourself. Because you deserve to come too. But like, I also deserve $2. Frankly, I deserve more than $2. You're getting me out of the bargain, folks. I love you all so much. Thank you for a wild ride. Next week, unless she like last minute cancels, which like I feel like there's a 20% chance. Just, that's my vibe with this friend of mine, comedian Lauren Petrie. You should be hearing her next week. Until then, Stay slutty.